We coming through? Sounds it. Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jim Braley. You might see me up here playing music, but may have never spoken to me. That happens, unfortunately. Bear with me while I get myself put together. Rob, could you turn that down a little bit, please? Check. Hey, can you guys hear me okay? Okay. So here we are. It's the last Sunday of 2020. And probably a lot of us are like, yay. You know, it's been a very strange time and trying in a lot of ways. And, you know, a year ago from this date, I don't think we would have ever planned what has gone on and what we're experiencing right now, right? A mask tells all. It just of what the year has been like. And I guess just for fun, I'm going to throw out, if some of you would, and just say, when I say 2020, year 2020, what comes to mind? COVID, yeah. Well, masks. Right, I got a whole bunch of things here. I got most of a page of things that just stood up when I started and when I pondered it. You know, COVID-19, masks, social distancing, flattening the curve, confusion with all that, lockdown, quarantine, toilet paper, disinfecting wipes, hand sanitizer, vaccines, confusion again, impeachment, presidential election, rallies, protests, vandalism, violence, anarchy, Black Lives Matter, first responders, defunding the police, fake news, real news, corruption, struggling economy, loss of jobs and income, loss of dreams, loss of fellowship, a daily death count. One that really stands out to me is abortion after birth, which is an oxymoron, but remote learning, Zoom. I mean, Zoom. We didn't say that last year, right? But that's what we do. We're Zooming in a lot of things. But and, you know, sports, all these things, the things that were normal are no longer, right? This is kind of like a wound in a tree. When you cut it down later, you can always see that wound. And this is what it'll be for us. This is going to change us. We're going to be different now because of this. Something that's outside of our control. It just happened. But with that, as I pondered it more, and I've pondered it a while, as I've just observed things going on, you know, a lot of distraction, a lot of division, a lot of conflict, and it's troubling. Even in my own family, not like in my household, but my extended family, this has been a very divisive year and has been very foreign because it's never been that way. We've always got along, everything's been fine. But now there's division, whether a stand on COVID or whether it's your political views, or that, all of a sudden it's very polarizing. And, you know, and it's hurtful. It's a real bummer that we're hung up on those sorts of things. In our society, for sure, and in the church, there is a great deal of division on these things. And I'm not saying that to have a point of view or an opinion is wrong, but how we're handling these things is contrary to what we're called to be, is my observation. And, of course, you know, Facebook, I think, is one of the problems, but I do. I go through and I see what people, how they respond to things, the things they post, they say, and we're called to be the light of the world. And when I see things that my Christian brothers and sisters post, Are we any different? Are we providing a light or a hope to anybody? You know, when they look at us, is there anything different about us in the way we handle ourselves, the thing, how we view things? I'd say this is probably a pretty docile group of people, but I got to imagine if I opened the floor up for this discussion on COVID-19, and let's just pick mask wearing, there would be very lively debate on where this all should fall. It would be quite passionate. And everybody approaching it with goodwill, right? Everybody's motive would be good, but it would be very polarizing. This might all be me, because I think about how much time I spend thinking about these things and whether it's the best use of my time. But a thing I pondered was, if I open the floor up to have a conversation on the number of people who died, COVID or non-COVID, or went to hell, would there be much conversation? Would it be passionate? And sadly, I don't think it would be. That's the reality. That's the bare bones. And it's just troubling that's where we as a society, in some ways the church, are at. And we're distracted. Pings, notifications, ringing, right? Our life is just constant. These things coming through our phone, just this feed of information. And it's taking our eye off the ball. You know, I spend too much time focusing on politics, COVID, and not these so much. I'm not a huge Facebook guy. I'm not a big Netflix guy. But as a society, that's how we're kind of numb to. That's kind of where we put our time. And I ponder, well, if all that time was taken, or even half of it, was taken to the study of the Word and prayer, where would we be? What would we be? It would be a lot different. Because I do. I'm distracted by it, and then, frankly, I get anxious. I worry about what's life for my kids going to be like, my grandkids. You know, there are real things that are going on, real concerns. You know, we talk about losing our liberties. To even do this, is this going to be legal, gathering like we are here now? Are we going to be able to teach what we want to teach, or is government going to try to tell us what we can say in here or in our homes? We go into Second Amendment rights, socialism, corruption, all these things that go on. It's like rapid fire craziness. And they can make us anxious. They can make us worry and get our eye off the ball. And it's not by accident. We're at war. There's a spiritual war going on, and our enemy is having a heyday. Because look over here, look over here. And he's reaping a harvest. And we're called to bigger things, church. As a society, we're focusing on our government to provide the solutions. We're looking to politicians, and they can't do it. They can't fix it. You know, Psalm 118, 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So with these problems, what can men do? They can talk. They can try to do things, but they can't fix it. The Word of God has the answers. And His Word should be our focus. If we have a problem with a computer, we don't call a vet. If we have a problem with a dishwasher, we don't read a car's owner's manual. Right? And these are spiritual problems. and politicians can't fix it. Only God can fix it. And trying times don't make us, per se. They reveal us. They show what we are. Right? When we're shaken up, what comes out? And there are certainly horizontal problems in our world, but they won't be resolved with horizontal means. Our hearts are being revealed in these trials, and they don't, and they can't be fixed by vertical means. Sorry, I got to take a drink. I'm so dry. So, again, if we took half the energy we do on the horizontal and put it to the vertical, where would we be? What change would it have in us? Because as the saying goes, what you focus on grows, right? You go buy a new vehicle, and you're pretty proud of it. I think this is a great vehicle, but next thing you know, it seems like everybody else has that vehicle. Either you're a trendsetter, or they've always just had it, and you just never noticed it. And that's the way we function. What we set our hearts and minds to, that's what we notice. And unfortunately, a lot of what I've seen is we're more focused on a piece of cloth than souls. You know, a mask may prevent the spread of a virus, but it doesn't save a soul. It's useless. So the primary things need to be the primary things. So for me, in all this pondering, I really had to stop and think and assess, where do I spend my time here in my head? What am I doing? And another component or thing that was a point of discussion through 2020 was contact tracing, right? And it's pretty remarkable when, so you get a positive test and they start chasing all that, how many people you're in contact with in a very small period of time. It's crazy how that spreads out one to the other. And, and then to consider that, you know, if you were to get it in the fear, like I know people that are so fearful of that, that they'll get it and cause harm to somebody, that they're a wreck because of it, for that, just that consideration. What a horrible feeling if you infected somebody and they became extremely ill and died. I mean, there's a crazy, and the mental pressure that goes with all of that. But, I mean, another thought on contact tracing is, think about the people that you're in contact with. Have they been infected with the love of Christ? You know, and as I pondered that, they would sooner know my stance on this whole list of things I went through than whether Jesus loved, they knew the love of Christ. And that's not who I want to be. Anyhow, this led me to kind of step back, and really, it's all things we know. It's the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need to spend time with God. But to be deliberate in making that time. It's almost like being on cruise control, say. I mean, I read my Bible. I listen to teachings. I listen to Bible podcasts. I got Christian magazine. I got all those things going on, and I pick away, you know, at those things, and I'm attentive to my responsibilities, you know, as a child of God, as a husband, as a dad, as an employee. I'm very much attentive to that, but kind of cruise control. In like rafting, any rafters here? No? Right. If you're going the same speed as the current, it's not good, is it? You're going faster. You got to be ahead of it. So you got to dig in, and some of that you got to muscle through to make it through the rapids. And we're the same. We need to be muscling through. We got to be ahead of the current to be healthy, to not to be tossed to and fro. So anyhow, this all led me to Psalm 119. I know you're all familiar with it. It's about the Word of God, right? It focuses on God's Word and the God of the Word. And so go ahead and open to Psalm 119. Sorry, this thing is part of my nerves, and then this is just making my breathing a bit challenging. I'll have to switch it out next service. But let's pray. Father, we ask that you would meet us here and speak to us through your word. Lord, give us humble hearts, give us hungry hearts. And Lord, help me to speak clearly. Lord, use me as you see fit. And I pray these things would resonate and would revive, refresh your church, Lord. That we'd set our hearts and minds on you. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 119, again, for mostly this is review. It's 176 verses, 172 which speak of the Word of God, either under the terms of the law, testimony, judgments, statutes, commandments, precepts, word, ordinances, or ways. So 172 of those 176 speak of God's Word in some way. And it is an acrostic psalm. It's 22 stanzas, 8 verses per stanza, and each one is a letter of the Jewish alphabet, Hebrew alphabet. And so it's kind of crazy to think about, but they use, like, Jewish children used to memorize this, and in this form, it made it easier. You know, very similar to our schools, right? Memorizing Psalm 119. Imagine if that was true. What a different place it would be. Well, actually, why don't you memorize it? Wouldn't do me any harm. And, so anyhow, the title in my Bible has Meditations on the Excellencies of the Word of God. And that title itself is very cool. The Excellencies of the Word of God. A great place to invest. So, first stanza, Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And again, not just with the heart, but the whole heart, with everything. And notice the exclamation here. I'm not very animated, but this would be spoken very loudly, these proclamations. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So, here's the first stanza, just breaking ground here, this whoever wrote this psalm. So back to verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And blessed, as we know, is, oh, how happy. So happy are the undefiled in the way. undefiled, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, whole. Without blemish. So one of the songs we just sang, one of the lines in it is, "You made this sinner holy." What an awesome lyric. This for me and him, knowing me, it's pretty great that he's made me holy because I'm not. Undefiled in the way, perfect in the way, no blemish, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, again, oh, happy are those who keep his testimonies. And keep is to guard, to protect, maintain, obey. In some usage, it's like a monument. It's fixed. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart, with everything they are, to search, to inquire. In the heart, the feelings, the will, the intellect. In the deeper parts, seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So obviously to do is to do or make, or this has it be like a habitual practice or purposeful practice. So they do no iniquity. No means no in the original language. And iniquity is evil, perverseness, wickedness. The perverse part of us, you know, the twisted piece, we don't like to talk about it, but we are some sinful people. And it's very frustrating, you know, it makes me think of, you know, Romans 7, you and Paul talking about, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't, but the evil I don't want to do, that is what I do. And he keeps going back and forth. You know, wretched man that I am. But those who walk in the Lord, those who seek him, they don't have it. They don't do it. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. So not just to keep them, but to do it diligently. In the keep in this one, in the original language, is a little different than the one in verse 2. It does have the sense of guard, but it's more like hedge about, to take heed, to attend to continue to keep your eye on it. And precepts, the Lord's mandates, his commands. And diligently, the word used there is vehemently. Not a word we use a lot today. But it means to, in a forceful, passionate, intense manner. So he's commanded us to keep his precepts diligently, vehemently, passionately, wholeheartedly, with all that we are. Does that describe any of you? It doesn't me. That's what we're called to. But that's not me. I can't check off all those boxes. Right? We're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. I want to, but I don't. There's a lot of things that get in the way. I get distracted. And I think we as the church corporately has gotten distracted. So Psalm 119:5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. An honest proclamation, if you will. I say that sometimes. Oh, why do I do that? Why am I this way? Why do I do these things? Why do I say these things? Why do I think these things? The mind's a horrible place to hang out. Mine, anyhow. And this is the psalmist's cry. This is what I'm supposed to be, but I'm not. And his cry, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And again, to hedge about, to take heed, to attend to. Verse 6. Right? If I kept your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Right? So ashamed, guilty because of one's actions. So when we look onto his commandments and the things he's called us to be, we're ashamed. Because in our heart of hearts, we know what is right. But we're sinful. But knowing that if I took heed to his commands, that I wouldn't have to. I wouldn't have to be ashamed. Verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Praise is to hold out the hand, to revere or worship with extended hands. To learn, the word is to go, to teach, like with a rod, to prod, judgments, a verdict, a sentence, or formal decree. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. And isn't that true? As we learn of the goodness of God, that response that we do, we read and we're ashamed, we're frustrated, we're down. But we learn of his goodness, of his precepts, and it changes things because he loves us. It is our response. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So again, you're making a commitment. I will keep. I am going to take heed to your word. I'm going to attend to your word. Very purposeful, very active to your statutes. You know, the statutes being like an enactment, a decree, something written in stone, permanent. But then the cry, oh, do not forsake me utterly. And I like it with the Psalms. I mean, that's just so real. You've got this, I will praise you, I'll praise you. Oh, and please don't forsake me. Not just forsake me, but forsake me utterly. And that's the same word as above that is used for diligently in verse 4, the vehemently, with passion, to cast me out. Please don't do it. And so a lot of actions, right? We've repeated to walk, to seek, again, to walk, to keep, again, to keep, to look, praise, to learn, and again to keep. There's a lot to ponder just there. And I'm so horrible on estimating time. I'll start into verse 9 here a little bit. So we're getting to the next stanza. And again, a very honest appeal. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That sums up a lot, doesn't it? You know, as we go into the earlier chapters of Proverbs, it just repeats that same thing. So how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young woman cleanse her way? By taking heed according to your word. And the cleanse here is to be innocent, to clean, counted pure, and heed, keep, the same words used as keep above, to hedge about, to guard, to protect. So what unclean thing are you struggling with? Right? And it's really sad, but we're sinful people, you know, and there are a lot of things that people struggle with within the church. And because we're supposed to be all these things above, we tend to put on a face and put on an act. But it's all good, that we're all good. But that doesn't fix anything. We've gone through, we've read what we're called to be. Our ways need to be cleansed. So, I mean, is it pride? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it fear, unforgiveness? You know, and is it marriage problems? Or is it relationships that are walking the tightrope? Are they right at the precipice of not being appropriate? You know, and the one that's very destructive is pornography. It's crazy what's going on. And it's very prevalent in the church. You know, depression, another one. So how do we fix that? How do we cleanse our way? By taking heed according to your word. I'm sorry, guys. I got to stop. And I'm horrible. And you're probably saying amen, but that's okay. We live in a very strange time, and I know I'm distracted, and I think talking to other people, a lot of people are distracted. The things that are taking our mind off what is right, what is needful. I know personally, my focus is to get back into the Word, to get deeper. You know, as I read the psalm and the communication that this guy has with God, it's at a different level. It's just not skimming the top. But before we close, I just want to read a quote from George Mueller. And he is famous for the Bristol orphanage and just his faith and how he trusted the Lord for so many things. And